you would, take your Bibles and go with me tonight to the book of Romans, chapter number 3. As the Lord leads, we're working our way through this book of the Bible, and I'm excited about the opportunity to preach through the book of Romans. I've never done this before, and I'm excited about sharing these passages of Scriptures and these messages with you. As we work our way through the book of Romans, rolling up to chapter number 3, and the middle of chapter number 3, there's a great emphasis here on the simple fact that all men are sinners. Jews are sinners, Gentiles are sinners, all men are sinners. And as we turn into Romans 3 and verse 20, we begin to see justification through faith. Justification through faith in Christ. And I want to share with you these passages of Scripture, and we'll ask God's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. And if you'd follow along with me in Romans 3, beginning in verse 20, the Bible says this: "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." Look what the Bible says in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Simple. The Bible says, the deeds of the law will not produce justification. You can't be justified. You can't be declared just, righteous. You can't be saved through the works of the law. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." So the Bible gives us the conclusion in verse number 28. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Simple title for tonight's message is this: man is justified by faith. Man is justified by faith. This is very elementary, but it's very important that we keep in mind the fact that it is not our religion, it is not our good works, it is not the deeds that we do in our flesh, it is not our connection to our church, it's not our connection to our heritage that saves our souls. We are justified, we are made righteous through faith in one thing, one person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who was buried, who 3 days later rose again victoriously. Man is justified by faith. Now, it's a very simple notion. It's something that seems elementary to folks who've been in a Bible preaching church for a long time, but it is something that must be consistently and constantly emphasized, because we have a proclivity as people, we have a tendency to attempt somehow to please God with our own works. It's amazing to me. You can talk to certain folks, and I'm preaching in John and Romans, so I'm finding out that there's so many things that come together. It's fascinating to think about that if we pick 2 books of the Bible to evangelize with, we use the books of John and Romans. And I'm preaching through those 2 books at the same time. So I'm seeing a recurring theme, and I'm encouraged by it. I'm not encouraged by the repetition. I'm discouraged by the repetition. I'm encouraged by the repetition because it emphasizes what God wants emphasized. Man is justified by faith. We're tempted to try to work our way into favor with God. It does not work. We must be justified by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to just work our way through this passage of Scripture, and we'll begin in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." When you see "therefore" in the text, you always need to look at the context. And the context of the Scripture is all are sinners, Jew and Gentile alike, cannot be justified by faith. There were some folks who wanted to say that, okay, the Gentiles need to believe, but the Jews, the circumcised, they need to keep the law. Well, that wasn't the case at all. The keeping of the law could not redeem a man's soul. It couldn't justify them. It could not declare them righteous. And so the Bible says in verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." How good do you have to be in order to go to heaven? Perfect. Just like Jesus. How many of you have attained that level of righteousness? None. How many of you can? None. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. So the Bible teaches us that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Justified means just as if I was never a sinner. You have folks define it in different ways, and I'm not going to fuss over those different definitions. But if you are justified, you are declared righteous before God. We're justified just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd never been a sinner, just as if I were Jesus Christ himself. My record before righteous God, because I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for my soul salvation, it says righteous, it says justified, it says just like Jesus. Jesus' righteousness has been put on my account, and I am justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by working the law, the work of the law, no flesh can be justified." And look at the next phrase. I love this phrase. "In his sight." Folks, I want you to know something. Your perspective on your justification, I hate to tell you this, it don't matter. My perspective on your justification, it don't matter. The only perspective that has any merit is his perspective. You must be justified in his sight. So when you want to consider the condition of your soul, don't go by the way you feel. Don't go by the things you do. Don't go by the things people have said. You better be considering, am I justified in his sight? You see, God is our authority. And if we're going to have salvation, it's going to be through faith in Christ. If we're going to be justified, declared righteous, it's going to have to be in his sight, and there's only one way. Not by the deeds of the law. Only through faith in Christ. Verse 20, "In his sight," the Bible says, justified in his sight, "for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, this is wonderful. And here just a minute, in verse number 31 of this chapter, we're going to see, we've concluded that man is justified by faith. And in verse 31, the question is asked, do we make void the law through faith? Do we just discard the law? No, the Bible says, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. How do we establish the law? Well, the law plays a wonderful role in all of our justification, in all of our salvation. The law plays a wonderful role because guess what the law does? The law makes us aware of the fact that we are sinners. That we are sinners. Hey, you study the Ten Commandments, and you study Christ's interpretation of the Ten Commandments, and you tell me, are you a sinner or not a sinner? Look, we don't even have to go into Christ's description of the Ten Commandments to find out that we're guilty. Thou shalt not steal. Let's do something. This may be so embarrassing to you. How many of you have ever stolen something? Raise your hand. You bunch of sinners. Thou shalt not bear false witness. How many of you have ever told a lie? I'm not talking a big lie. I'm talking just little lies. How many of you ever told a lie? That's right. Y'all are awful. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on others. But in reality, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And those of you who have been faithful to your wife or your husband, the Bible doesn't stop with just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law is considered. And Jesus said, look, if you've looked on a maid in lust, you've committed adultery in your heart already. So we don't even have to go into the hundreds of laws that are recorded in the Old Testament to find out that we are transgressors. We can just start the first couple in the Ten Commandments. And the Bible declares us guilty. And I'll just tell you, the guilt of sin on the lives and on the hearts of all men condemns them to hell. And that's why we have a Savior. You see, we need to be saved. Is the law without use? No, absolutely not. The law has a purpose. The law has a wonderful purpose. The law shows us and gives us the knowledge of sin. The law does not provide for us justification. It just provides for us realization that we're sinners. It's so right. You see, the Bible continues in verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, here's what the Bible wants us to understand. So, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The Bible wants us to know that this is not a new idea. You see, the Jews had worked their way into this idea and notion that somehow they could do the deeds of the law, they could keep the Sabbath. They could walk only X amount of steps on the Sabbath day. They could not light a fire on the Sabbath day. They could do the deeds of the law. They could attend the feasts and observe the rituals and do the things that God and the law had put out. Now, if they were honest, they would understand, I messed up one time. Okay, I messed up lots of times. But they kept putting on the garb and going through the motions. And that's why the message of John the Baptist was received so well. It was because he preached to the Jews that you need to just admit the fact that you can't keep the law. Repent and be baptized. Now the law, it was always something that showed us that we were sinners. But the Jews' religion had developed in such a way that they were keeping the law and keeping the sacrifices and doing the religious exercise. And they'd come to the place where they had convinced themselves in large part that the keeping of the law was how you stayed and got and stayed right with God. But the Bible says this notion, this idea that man is justified by faith and not the works of law is not new. He says now, verse 1, the righteousness of God without the law. These Jews thought we had to have the law if we're going to be righteous. We've got to obey the law if we're going to be righteous. But the message of Romans, the message of the gospel is that you can have the righteousness of God without the law. He says it's not new. He says this idea in verse 21 is manifested. It shows itself. It's manifested and is witnessed by the law and the prophets. This idea that you receive salvation by grace through faith in the sacrifice of the Savior is not new. He said it was manifest in the law and the prophets. It was manifest in the law. If you study the tabernacle, I love to study the tabernacle. It's exciting. It's amazing. But all through the tabernacle is the picture of the Christ, the fact that Jesus was coming and that we receive grace. We receive grace and we have to have our have faith in Christ. The Old Testament preaches over and over again the fact that we receive the righteousness of God without the deeds of the law. What did Jesus, what did God offer Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to cover their sins? A sacrifice, a shedding of blood. Why was that important? Because they could not pay the price for their sins. A sacrifice must be made. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was that sacrifice. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Jesus was God. He says this fact that you can receive forgiveness of sin and have justification without the works of law, it's not new. We just talked about it. Let's take a second and look at Isaac's lamb. Abraham and Isaac, on their way to make a sacrifice, God provided himself a lamb. Moses, brazen serpent. It's a beautiful picture of the fact that we come to faith in Christ without the works of the law. Everybody that came and looked on the serpent that had been bitten, they received salvation from the snake's bite. By simply looking to the serpent. We look to Christ. You see, it's manifest by the law. It's manifest by the law. It's manifest by the prophets. How about this? The Old Testament prophets said something like this: "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Isaiah in chapter 53 continues saying, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Now, the whole point of reading Isaiah 53 was the fact that the Apostle Paul testified to the fact that this notion, this idea that we are justified by faith in Christ is nothing new. The prophets said we are justified by faith in Christ. The law said we're justified by faith in Christ. God in the Garden of Eden said we're justified by faith in Christ. Abraham and Isaac said we're justified by faith in Christ. And the Old Testament pictures come over and again and again and again and again. This was nothing new. It was established and it was witnessed to all through the Old Testament that you cannot work your way into righteousness. You can only trust your way in Christ, through Christ, in Christ, for righteousness, justification. Man is justified by faith. Man is justified by faith. It was nothing new. He says it's manifested in the law and the prophets. The law requires a sacrifice. The prophets told the coming of a Savior. He said this is nothing new. Verse 21. We move into verse 22. Verses 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 are linked together. It's all about Jesus. So we've got this concern. This is the idea. This is what has been laid here. We can be justified in His sight. We're not justified by the deeds of the law. We're not justified by our works. We must be justified in the sight of God. We must have the righteousness of God. And so the Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The reason we have the unto all and the upon all is because we're talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, the circumcised, the uncircumcised, and the circumcised. Those two groups of people. Christ, we have justified by faith of Christ unto all, upon all, them that believe, for there's no difference. Everybody, Jew and Gentile, is justified the same way. They get the righteousness of God put on their account through faith in Christ Jesus, by faith of Christ, Jesus Christ. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this is my favorite verse in Romans chapter number 3, but I must tell you that it is not the key thought nor the key center of Romans chapter number 3. The key center of this part of Romans chapter number 3 is, and the key idea, is the fact that we're justified by faith in Christ. It's a beautiful verse, and it's very well used when we tell people that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not the main emphasis of Romans 3. The main emphasis is that all are justified through faith in Christ. So here's the point, verse 22. The righteousness of God is imparted on people by faith in Jesus Christ. All people. If all people are going to be saved, they must be saved through faith in Christ because, verse 23, all people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All people. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like this verse. For all have sinned. How many are sinners? All. You mean you Jews that have been keeping the law? You're sinners? And you've got to be justified by faith? Your religion and your church attendance wasn't sufficient? Yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You mean you Gentiles? You're doing the best you know how. You're sincere. You mean you have to be justified by faith in Christ? Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That phrase, the glory of God, is something we can never expound. Just think about how glorious God is. There's a question that's been asked. Some people like to ask this question as a means to make argument against Christ as the Savior of the world. The question is asked this: how can one man's death on a cross pay the price for millions of people's, billions of people's sins? You know, one for billions, one for all. How can one death, burial, and resurrection pay the price for all of men's sins? Here's the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is of far greater value than all of humankind put together. And His life is of far greater value than all lives that have ever been lived or will ever be lived. And His death and His payment on the cross of Calvary for our sins is all sufficient. It is represented by this glorious phrase, the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's one that did not come short of the glory of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we were to attempt somehow to explain the glory of God, if we spent the rest of our lives describing the glory of God, we'd fall greatly short, because the glory of God is beyond our recognition, comprehension. Every scientist that's ever lived has spent their lives studying the glory of God, and they've not scratched the surface. Every person who's studied anything in the creation has spent their lives, spent all of the history of man studying God's creation, and they've only scratched the surface of the glory of God. But Jesus sent His own glory, His Son, to pay the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Man is justified by faith. So we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible continues, verse 24, we're justified freely. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When we realize that we're condemned under the law, we're sinners, then we need to be justified. But how many of you could pay for your own justification? None of us. None of you have attained the glory of God, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners and we need to be justified. We need to be forgiven. How can I be justified? Well, it's simple. You're justified freely. Somebody said this and I really liked it. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. It costs God His only begotten Son. Being justified freely by His grace. You know what's wonderful about the law? When we study the law and we study the Ten Commandments, just like we talked about a few minutes ago, we realize, my, I'm a sinner. And then we begin to understand that I can't work my way into righteousness. I can't be good my way into righteousness. And we come to this moment in our lives where I'm desperate. I'm a sinner. I'm condemned to hell. What do I do? And immediately we understand that we can't earn it. We need grace. The Bible says that we are justified, declared righteous. We're justified freely by His grace. Oh my, I love grace. All of grace is my story. Grace, grace, wonderful grace. Grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You know what grace is? Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. Mercy, similar, but it's when you don't get what you do deserve. Mercy, the Bible says, is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What do I deserve? I deserve to be consumed. I deserve condemnation. But it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. But grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. I don't deserve to be justified. I could work at the works of the law. I could work at the deeds of religion. I could try to be good and attend church and do every good, nice thing there is. Kissing babies and picking flowers and you name it. I could do it all. I could do every good work you could ever imagine. And it's just not good enough. I need grace. And we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How am I justified freely? Because Jesus redeemed me. Jesus redeemed me. He paid my price. He satisfied the righteous demands of God. He redeemed me, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. God's demands required a sacrifice. He showed that with Adam and Eve. He showed that with the law. He showed that all through the Old Testament. God demanded a sacrifice. The sacrifice all along was none other than Jesus Christ. And the propitiation is that atonement. It's that very thing that God had to have in order that man would not have to suffer the condemnation of their own sin. Jesus paid that. He was the atonement. He was that person. He was that sacrifice that God could accept. He was God's propitiation. God has set forth to be a propitiation, Jesus, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. His righteousness. I like this phrase, His righteousness for the remission of sins. You're a sinner, right? Yes. Christ's righteousness offers remission, the taking away of our sins. his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is our righteousness. It's his righteousness. He is just. Who is just? Are you just? No, not until you get justified through faith in Christ. So Jesus is just, and he is the justifier. Isn't that wonderful? Where do we go to get saved? Don't be deceived. It's not the deeds of the law. There's a repetition in the theme here, and that's okay. God's perfect. His word is perfect. So we'll repeat it. He is just. Jesus is just. And he is the justifier. Where do you get justification? From the justifier. Where do you get plumbing? From the plumber. Where do you get electrical work? From the electrician. Where do you get justified? From the justifier. Jesus is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? Oh, this is wonderful. You see, we want to boast. Religious people want to boast. What was Jesus' great problem with the Pharisees? He talked about their praying. He says, you pray in prominent places with loud clothes and loud voices. He says, it's not right. That's right. That's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how we're supposed to. Where's boasting? He says, you're proud. You're religious and proud of it. I've met folks like that. And I'll just tell you something. I hope that you have a sense of love and respect and honor for your church. I hope you have a sense of love and respect and honor for your pastor. I want that. I think it can be right. But I do not want you ever to get proud of a minister or a ministry and arrogant about your form of religious exercise to the point that you forget that you're not justified by the deeds of the Chilhowee Baptist Church. You're not justified by the works and the meetings and the ministries and the effort that we put forth at the Chilhowee Baptist Church. It's not about the Chilhowee Baptist Church at all. And the moment it becomes our burden to build a church and we forget about Jesus and the fact that we cannot, with our religious form, save any souls and we're all condemned to hell without Christ, if we forget Jesus, we've messed up. Where is boasting then? The Bible says it is excluded. The Bible says a little later, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. Where's boasting? Oh, I can't help but think as the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Romans, he was thinking about the days when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, astute in the law, his chest puffed out, his clothes pressed just right, thinking somehow that he had attained the righteousness of God by being a Pharisee, by adhering to the law, by doing things decently in order, by being zealous for God. He says, I remember my boasting days. He said, it all came to a screeching halt the day I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Where's boasting then? Where's boasting then? It is excluded. It is excluded. If you somehow walk around with your nose stuck up in the air, I'm a Christian. You probably didn't get what you needed to be justified. You see, justification, salvation, comes through humility. an admission of sin, an admission of insufficiency, an admission of guilt and rottenness, an admission of I cannot do it on my own, and an admission that you need a justifier. You see, Paul said, you cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. Where's boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope. By what law? Of works? Nope. By the law of faith. He said, there's a new law in town. Now, we've not abolished the Old Testament and Moses' law. It shows us guilty. But there's a new law in town, and the law is the law of faith. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man is justified by faith. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is it just for the Jews? Nope. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Gentiles too. Verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. One God shall justify all people. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Hey, the bottom line is this, man is justified by faith. He says, this is our conclusion. Man is justified by faith. What about religious people like the Jews? They're justified by faith in Christ. What about pagans like the pagans? They're justified through faith, by faith in Jesus Christ. What about me? I've tried to be good. I try to be righteous. I come to church. I'm a pretty good guy. Sir, ma'am, man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said it so plainly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's why Jesus said it so plainly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man is justified by faith. Let's pray.